Chelukir Aleph, Parshas Truma, Sicha Beis. Sicha Beis and Parshas Truma is based upon a difference of opinion between the Rambam and the Ramban that represents a divergence in approach to understanding what is the purpose of the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash. Throughout the Sicha, numerous sources are brought to support or question either the opinion of one or the other, or commentaries on one or the other. The Sicha grows in complexity as the Rebbe takes on various angles of the differences in these two perspectives, eventually bringing us round to an understanding that the seemingly differing opinions of the Rambam and the Ramban are not in fact to the exclusion of one another, but rather, both of these opinions manifest in our specific service of God and the great responsibility of each individual in building the Mishkan in our divine service. In Sefer HaMitzvos of the Rambam, listed as a single mitzvah saseh, incorporating all the vessels, is the mitzvah of building a Beis HaBchira, a house of worship and service, based upon the Asu LiMikdash, the mitzvah found in this week's Torah portion. Conversely, in his Hasagas to Sefer HaMitzvos, the commentary of the Ramban posits that the construction of the Mishkan should be considered as one mitzvah, and the fashioning of the Kelim, specifically the Aron and the Kapiros, should be counted as a separate mitzvah. Additionally, both agree that one may offer sacrifices in the Beis HaMikdash, even if it is lacking utensils and vessels, as we see in fact that in Bayis Sheni there were 5 items missing, among them the Aron and the Kapiros. In support of the position of the Rambam that all details of the Mishkan are part of the one mitzvah of the Asu LiMikdash, the commentary Megillas Esther, written by Rabbi Yitzchak de Leon, a work written as an answer to the Ramban's criticism of the Rambam, offers the example of the mitzvah of tzitzis, where there are parts of the mitzvah, but the mitzvah does not in fact depend upon these halakim for one to be able to perform the mitzvah, like the tchelis, the blue threads, and the white threads, which halachically apply independently. The Rebbe does not find this support satisfactory, as the mitzvah of tzitzis in Torah is one mitzvah and clearly stated as such, whereas the mitzvah of building of the mikdash and the vessels does not have that clarity. In addition, since indeed this is not clear in Torah, and they appear unconnected or split up, perhaps indeed they are two mitzvahs, the Avi'asu LiMikdash and the Kelim, as they are not ultimately dependent upon one another. Yet another opinion, that of the Leif Sameach Rav Avrom Aligri, suggests that the Rambam is of the opinion that though the sacrificial service is not dependent upon the vessels, and the vessels are there only to facilitate the service, without the Kelim, the temple would not be considered mikdash, the osuli mikdash, sanctified and complete, and this would hold back the ability to worship, sacrifice, thus making it one mitzvah. This discussion is furthered with yet another commentary on the Rambam, who suggests that the root of the disagreement is based on a difference of opinion by the Tanoim in the tractate Shkolim, where they posit that the opinion of Rav Meir is that the vessels facilitate the sacrifices, and without them one cannot and is not allowed to sacrifice. The suggestion is that the Rambam takes this opinion. Again, the Rebbe is not satisfied with this suggestion, as the opinion of Reb Meir is the opinion of one versus the opinion of many, and it is the opinion of many that determines the rule. Furthermore, the Rambam has already stated that sacrifices are brought even though there may not be a built-up home, and if there isn't a Beis HaMikdash, then there aren't vessels. So he cannot be in agreement with Reb Meir, who says that without the Shulchan and Menorah, there cannot be sacrifices. At this point, the Rebbe develops a question on the position of the Ramban. While the Ramban states that the reason that the forming of the Aron and Kapiros are discussed before all other vessels is because the place where the Shechinah rests is in the Aron, how is it that he then suggests that this mitzvah of making the Aron should be counted individually? How is it not one with the mitzvah of building the Mikdash if it is the essential object in the purpose of building the Mikdash, or the very purpose itself? Further deliberating on the differing opinions of the Rambam and the Ramban, the Rebbe begins a lengthy and involved discussion based upon the concluding words of the Tractate Middos. As the conclusion to the Tractate Middos, which discusses the measurements, the formatting, and the details of the construction of the Mikdash, we read, "Daily in the hall of hewn stone, the Lishkas HaGozis, sat the great assembly, the Sanhedrin, and determined which of the Kohanim were suitable, unblemished, pure, for service, and who was not. When one was found to be unblemished, he would don white clothes, enter to serve with his fellow Kohanim, and they would celebrate together that that day had all been found unblemished and worthy of service." And this is what they would say: "Blessed is God, blessed is he who has found us unblemished among the descendants of Aaron." And then that was followed with another bracha: "Blessed is he who chose Aaron and his sons to stand before him in service before God in the home of the Holy of Holies." There's some particulars in these blessings that the Rebbe now questions and explores. Number one, the first blessing, "Blessed is God who did not find a blemish among the children of Aaron." And only then the second bracha, "Blessed is God who chose Aaron and his sons," seem to be out of order. The order should be reversed. First, that God chose Aaron and his sons to stand in service before God, and then that they were found unblemished, for those who were found unblemished. Two, the second blessing, which references God choosing Aaron and his sons to serve in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies, is referencing a service that was performed only by the Kohen Gadol and only once a year on Yom Kippur. But God choosing Aaron and his sons to serve in the Beis HaMikdash was for all forms of service in the temple and throughout the entire year. Why should these individuals who serve daily, all year, those Kohanim, all be left out of that second bracha? The Rebbe quotes a commentary that says, "The blessing on not finding a blemish references the Kohen Hedyot, a lay priest, and the blessing on choosing Aaron and his sons refers to the more exalted position of the Kohen Gadol, who on the day of Yom Kippur would enter the Holy of Holies." Yet, this very commentator still queries, in addition to the question that remains, that the blessing that God chose Aaron and his sons to serve in the Holy of Holies seems to omit the regular Kohen, doesn't the blessing, or shouldn't the blessing of Shelo Nimtza Psul Bizarre Shel Aaron, that the Kohen was found unblemished, incorporate the Kohen Gadol as well. Why wouldn't all fall under that same blessing? To satisfy this challenge, there are those who explain that the reference made in the terminology of the bracha, those who serve in the base kodshe hakodshim, is not in fact a reference to the Holy of Holies itself, but rather to the mikdash, the temple in general, which is holy in comparison to other sanctified places. And this reference in the blessing is in fact connected to the idea discussed in another tractate, the Tractate of Kelim, where it says, there are 10 states of holiness, Eretz Yisrael is holier than all lands, etc. And thus, the reference to the Beis HaKodesh Kodoshim is really a reference to the Beis HaMikdash, which is the holiest place of all holy places. This suggestion, too, the Rebbe says, is unsatisfactory, as we are not in fact discussing the Tractate of Kelim, but the conclusion of the Tractate of Midos, Measurements, and in that tractate, the references to the dimensions and to the Kodesh HaKadoshim are specifically mentioned. At this point in the Sicha, the Rebbe returns to the original discussion and offers this beer as the premise of the mitzvah, on the premise of the mitzvah of building a mikdash. There are two general purposes to the building of the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash. In the Lashon of the Ramban, Nachmanides, who quotes, a home to sanctify his name there, and as such the essence of the Mishkan is so that God's presence dwells within, B'seichem, and specifically the place where God's presence dwells is in the Holy of Holies. And the second purpose, the temple service, which is mainly comprised of the sacrifices, and the pilgrimage 3 times a year, the Aliyah L'Regel, to the Beis HaMikdash. And therein lies not just the difference of opinion of the Rambam and the Ramban, but actually the disagreement. According to the Rambam, as we stated earlier, the purpose and Hashem's intention for the Mikdash was for the service of Karbanos. And thus, in his written work on actual law, which is more involved than his work in Sefer HaMitzvahs, the Rambam states, it is a positive mitzvah to prepare a ready, fully completed home for Hashem. Why? So that sacrifices can be brought. The emphasis is on the fact that this space must be complete, for if not complete and ready in advance, then the positive commandment, V'asu L'Mikdash, is not fulfilled. And what is it that constitutes readiness? The making of the menorah, the table, the altar, etc. For all these vessels contribute to the spirit of the service of worship and facilitate it. Contribute and facilitate, but do not determine. And so even if the temple were ultimately destroyed as it was, and there was no longer a house and vessels, this would not preclude the bringing of Karbanos. For the vessels and the house would not prevent the bringing of sacrifices. However, according to the Ramban Nachmanides, the primary purpose of the Mishkan and the Mikdash is that there be a place sanctified to God, and as the Pasuk says, and from there he will speak, and thus the commandment V'asu li mikdash v'shachanti b'seicham, make for me a temple, and I will rest within it, refers, says the Ramban, specifically to the makim, the place, the bayis, but not the associated mitzvahs of the kelim, whose purpose was to facilitate the sacrifices. And the fact that the vessels were not counted as separate mitzvahs is because they are only facilitators of holiness for the sacrificial service. Thus, the opinion of the Ramban that the Aron and Kapiros, wherein the tablets were placed, where God's presence resides, is counted as a separate mitzvah because the Aron is not a facilitator of another mitzvah. Rather, it's the essence and its place, the Holy of Holies, the essence of the temple itself. Connecting this to our earlier discussion about the blessings at the conclusion of the Tractate of Midas, the Rebbe notes that in many of the printed versions, and more particularly in the earlier handwritten versions of this tractate, the blessing that the tractate concludes with is the blessing, "Blessed is God who ensured that no blemish was found in the offspring of Aaron." And indeed it is so in the Rambam's version. The blessing following that is not brought down. This too, says the Rebbe, impacts and determines the differing opinions of Nachmanides and Maimonides, the Ramban and the Rambam, as discussed. The Rambam explains that Maseches Midos reminds us of the measurements of the temple and its format and all its details. The point of it is so that we can look into this tractate to rebuild the Beis HaBechira, and so we safeguard its formatting. And understandably, the conclusion of this tractate states the purpose of the building of the temple, which, according to the Ramban, is so that the Shechina can reside there, and the essential part, thus, of this discussion is the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and everything that happens there is for this purpose. Thus, the Nusach, which includes the blessing of Baruch Hu Shebachar Ba'arein Ubevonav La'amay L'shores Beveis Kodesh HaKadoshim, is understandable. However, according to Maimonides, the Rambam, the primary purpose of the Beis HaMikdash is so that it should be a ready home wherein to bring offerings to God and to celebrate there three times a year. And this service was done all year long throughout the temple and not in the Holy of Holies. And so it isn't feasible that the tractate would conclude with a once-a-year blessing. This can be further understood according to the two opinions of the Ramban and the Rambam as they see the Mikdash and its kelim. The idea of praising something or blessing something is relevant only when there is an exclusive or unique or noteworthy object or individual, not when it's a necessary accessory to something else. As an example, when the guest of honor arrives at a dinner delayed because of a snowstorm, in the speech that is made to welcome him, the speaker will not welcome the guest of honor by lauding the driving qualities of his driver in this unusual weather, but rather he will speak of the qualities of the guest of honor. And so it is here, regarding the blessing at the end of the tractate Midos. The Rambam sees the positive commandment to build for me a mikdash as a requirement to build a home for God, readied for the offering of sacrifices, So just as the forming and making of the vessels for this house are not a commandment of their own, so too there is really no need to bless God specifically on choosing the Kohanim for the Beis HaMikdash, because their being chosen for this work is much like the facilitating vessels. Similarly, when we see this through the lens of the Ramban, Nachmanides, though the vessels are not part of the house, they are there to facilitate the actual mitzvah in the temple. For example, the Lechem Haponim, the showbread, was an Isha LaHashem, a firing offering before God. And to facilitate these stacks of loaves and the frankincense that the Torah commands to place beside them, there was a shulchan to hold them. And the commandment could not be fulfilled without the shulchan and without the kohanim who stood in service. However, read the essential purpose of the Mishkan, the Ramban's understanding of this is that the Shechinah reside there, and the Avodah of the Kohanim as facilitators of this specific mission mandates the second bracha. The essential point, a point that excludes the necessity of the Kalim, but the main thrust of the reason for the Mishkan, bringing Hashem's presence there, is the mission, the purpose of the Kohanim, bringing Hashem's presence into the Kodesh HaKadoshim by facilitating the Avodah of the Beis HaMikdash. And now, says the Rebbe, we can understand why the blessings begin first with Baruch HaMakom, Shalei Nimtza Psul Bezarei Shel Aharein, said on a day where there were no determinations disqualifying Kohanim on that particular day, and then is followed by Baruch Shebachar Ba'aharein Uvanav, blessed is God who chose Aharein and his sons to stand in service before God in the base Kodesh HaKadoshim. The second blessing's emphasis is on the final words, La'amid Lifnei Hashem Beveis Kodesh HaKadoshim, that this work of the Kohanim causes the resting of the Shekhinah in the house of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And so first the blessing is made on that they were able to serve in the temple that day, followed by the blessing that speaks to the additional and wondrous mission every day of causing the divine presence of God to rest in the Mikdash. The Rebbe brings up a question, however. If a blessing is only to be made on something or a task that is unique and not a facilitator for an already existent reality, what about the day of Yom Kippur when the Kohen is actually commanded to work in the Holy of Holies? Now it would seem we are blessing the job that only facilitates the mitzvah. The Rebbe responds to this by pointing out that this last section of Maseches Middos describes the Sanhedrin sitting in the Lishkas Hagozis, and they did not sit there on Yom Kippur or Shabbos, only during the weekdays. So it isn't a blessing that was said on Yom Kippur at all, and thus the Kohen remains unique and not a facilitator of a mitzvah. This further supports the idea that the unique service of the Kohanim was about effecting the drawing of Hashem's presence into the Kodesh HaKadoshim through their daily service in the temple in general. And to explain, Aharon HaKohen, the son of Amram, was the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, who had been separated and tasked, says the Rambam in Mishneh Torah, by his father Yaakov for all eternity to study and to teach the ways of Avodas Hashem. And so the Kohanim, who were descendants of the tribe of Levi, were fitting and had the unique ability to bring the Shechinah that rested in the Aron, that was that contained the luchis that were hewn with the aseres hadibros were hewn within it down to Bnei Yisrael. The Alter Rebbe, at length, in Mamari Admar HaZaken, describes the divine wisdom given to the Kohanim of all generations, including Kohanim who are yet young. All of this, concludes the Rebbe, is a wondrous lesson to be derived in one's service of Torah study and mitzvah performance in this time for our time. What are our karbonos today? What is our Kodesh HaKodshim today? In Maseches Brachos, Chazal say, Tefillah is established based on the daily sacrifices. And as the Pasuk in Hosea tells us, Unishalma Purim Sifaseinu, instead of bulls, in other words, instead of the sacrifices, we will pay the offering of our lips. And this refers to the study of Torah learned aloud with our mouths. All who involve themselves in Torah are considered to have brought an Eila sacrifice at any point in history and in any place where they may find themselves. But it's much deeper than that. Fulfilling this task, just like the Kohanim, affects the drawing down of Hashem's presence, the Shechinah, in our midst, making for God a home amongst us. This does not just affect the individual and his surroundings, but rather, as the Alter Rebbe explains in Perek Nun Gimel in Tanya, this feminine level of divine presence, Shechinah, manifests in this space called the Holy of Holies of this world, and that is the Torah study of a Jew. Just as the place where the Shechinah manifested in the Beis HaMikdash was in the Kodesh HaKodshim, in the Aron, which housed the luchos upon which were engraved in a miraculous way the Ten Commandments, which are the all-embracing principles of the entire Torah, today that shrine of the Kodesh HaKodashim is the Jew, the Torah that connects God with the world. The Alter Rebbe refers to the Shechinah in Tanya Perek Nun Gimel in the feminine, as the Shechinah is the divine energy of Chochma, Bina, and Das that descends into the feminine level of Malchus, and thereby is able to descend into the shrine of the Kodesh HaKodashim in all worlds. A shrine of the Kodesh HaKodashim exists in all spiritual worlds, and in the world of Asiya, the shrine of the Kodesh HaKodashim existed in the temple, in the Beis HaMikdash. Malchus is thus the vehicle for the Shechinah's descent. And so when the Rebbe concludes this sicha by stating that this gives us insight into understanding the great responsibility of each individual in Torah study and mitzvah performance, for not only if one is lacking in a zavoida, is there a lack in one's own vishachanti b'seichem, God's dwelling within us, that experience of living consciously with God, but also it causes a lack in the influence that we bring into the world around us. It would seem that this idea is particularly relevant to the woman, whose very being embodies the feminine dynamic, the very conduit of the Shechinah's presence in this world, the Sphira of Malchus. And the Rebbe concludes the Sicha with a bracha, that with bringing this influence of divine consciousness through Torah study and prayer into our immediate surrounds and the entire world around us, we will hasten the time when we will once again bring the actual sacrifices, as is Hashem's desired will, in the third Beis HaMikdash, may it descend and be revealed speedily in our days, in the words of the Rebbe, Bekarav Mamish.